What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 266. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about corticosteroids and septic shock, answer the drug information question, which dose of vasopressin should be used in septic patients, and share a resource for residency and job interviews. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode266. The article for this episode is titled Adjunctive Glucocorticoid Therapy in Patients with Septic Shock. It is authored by the Adrenal Trial Investigators and published in New England Journal of Medicine in January 2018. Steroids have been in and out of favor for use in septic shock over the past several decades. The adrenal investigators sought to definitively answer the question of whether steroids improve mortality in septic shock with a large multicenter randomized controlled trial. The authors randomly assigned patients with septic shock who are undergoing mechanical ventilation to receive hydrocortisone at a dose of 200 milligrams a day, or placebo for 7 days, or until death or discharge from the ICU, whichever came first. The primary outcome was death from any cause at 90 days. Over 1,800 patients per group were enrolled and analyzed. At 90 days, there was no difference in mortality between the steroid and placebo groups. There were also 6 pre-specified subgroups in which the primary endpoint was analyzed: medical versus surgical admission type, high versus low dose of catecholamine infusions, pulmonary versus non-pulmonary source of infection, male versus female gender, Apache 2 score above or below 25. 25 has been used as a cutoff point to identify patients at higher risk for death, and the duration of shock according to 4 intervals of 6 hours each between 0 and 24 hours before randomization. There was no difference in mortality between the steroid and placebo groups for any of these pre-specified subgroups. The only secondary endpoint that revealed a difference was that fewer patients in the hydrocortisone group than the placebo group received a blood transfusion. The authors concluded, among patients with septic shock undergoing mechanical ventilation, a continuous infusion of hydrocortisone did not result in lower 90-day mortality than placebo. The design and scope of this trial are truly impressive. Unfortunately, in the eyes of many clinicians, it would have only been considered a definitive trial if it had found a clear benefit or harm associated with steroid use in septic shock and mortality. With a finding of no difference, secondary endpoints or previous trials will likely be relied upon in clinical practice. Between days 1 and 7, patients in the hydrocortisone group had a higher mean arterial pressure than did those in the placebo group. Patients in the hydrocortisone group had a shorter duration of the initial episode of mechanical ventilation than did those in the placebo group. These differences are not clinically meaningful, but they present a potential for seeing immediate effect while the patient is in the middle of a critical illness. While I expect the position of steroids and septic shock to be changed in the sepsis guidelines, I would not predict that this trial will have an immediate effect on the frequency of use of steroids in patients with septic shock. The drug information question for this episode is, should vasopressin be dosed at 0.3 or 0.4 units per minute for patients with septic shock? And my answer is, updated sepsis guidelines now recommend using a fixed dose vasopressin dose of 0.03 units per minute. The guidelines have some stronger wording about dosing in the most recent edition. They say they would advocate caution when using vasopressin in patients who are not euvolemic or at doses higher than 0.03 units per minute. Also, the updated sepsis guidelines suggest adding either vasopressin up to 0.03 units per minute or epinephrine to norepinephrine with the intent of raising mean arterial pressure to target. They also recommend adding vasopressin up to the 0.03 units per minute to decrease norepinephrine dosage. It may seem like splitting hairs when talking about the difference between 0.03 and 0.04 units per minute, and it can be challenging to get providers to agree to change the dose in a patient on 0.04 units per minute that finally appears stable. For this reason, getting your institution's protocol changed to a fixed vasopressin dose of 0.03 units per minute probably represents the best way to ensure that vasopressin is routinely used at the recommended dose. The resource for this episode is the website TLDR Pharmacy and their mock residency interview information. Pharmacist Brandon Dyson shares valuable pearls for understanding what the common interview questions are really getting at and how to answer them successfully. Brandon also has put together a guide on how to master the interview process. These interview tips can be used not just for residency interviews, but for any job interview. You can find a link to these resources at the bottom of the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode266. And for a chart explaining vasopressor choice and sepsis, go to my free download area at pharmacyjoe.com/free. The chart is download number 3 on the list. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.